Hey there, ghouls, goblins, and ghosts. I know you like to hit the sauce a little bit before you party down for Halloween, so remember to go or haunt through Riverside Wine and Spirits before you get all your Halloween festivities on the way. It's located right there on Manufacturers Road, and they've got all the libations you need for Halloween this year. Whether that's wine, liquor, beer, or cheeses, they've got you. And again, that's Riverside Wine and Spirits located on Manufacturers Road. Here we are, guys and gals, back once again for another titillating episode of the Brew Chat Podcast. And I'm Tanner, one third of the hosting goodness here at Brew Chat. And however, we're a man down tonight. We've got Alan, who's not here tonight because he's down at Chattanooga Brewing Company with his marbled rye at the CBC Pro AM, which he won. Our boy won first place. And what that means is here in the next few months, at some point, you're going to be able to go down there and get one of our boy's beers on tap. You'll be able to get that marbled rye. That's one of the perks of winning that competition, which is pretty badass. We're super proud of him. Give him a little bit of applause there. And but anyway, yeah, so it's just me and Jared tonight. We're sitting around. We're finally tapping out the last few bits of the pumpkin beers and Oktoberfest, which you've been striving to do, trying to get all of them in our distribution market, or at least attempting to. And so, yeah, we almost tapped those out. I think we've got one more next week. And then we're able to get into some stuff that's not Oktoberfest and pumpkin beers. Thank God. So, sit on back without further ado. Here is episode 107 of the Brew Chat Podcast.
Let's start drinking. Yeah. We got some good looking stuff. We already had one of the Clawhammers, which is a pretty good Oktoberfest.
Yeah, I liked it. And we're down Alan tonight. I guess we should announce that.
Yeah, he's at the CBC Pro-Am trying to win us our beer, one of our beers. He has two and I have two, and he's there representing the total failures. And hopefully one of our four beers will end up on draft over there at CBC. That would be really cool.
Oh, that would be sweet as hell, yeah.
Yeah, so the lemon pepper saison is pretty good. I should have brought one. I'll bring one next week when they're definitely ready. They're just about ready. I see that. Popping that thing, and it's just like bubbling. Not aggressively, but there's bubbles coming out. That's weird.
Yeah, it's oozing.
Yeah. It's still going. But yeah, I've got my lemon pepper saison, which is just about ready. And yeah, I tried it yesterday. It was pretty good. Yeah, I'll get in on some of this. And then the Then the eggnog cream ale. And the eggnog cream ale doesn't taste too much like eggnog, but it is flavored with vanilla and rum chips. And
that's a good thing for me. I don't like eggnog.
Yeah. It does have nutmeg.
I like nutmeg. I just don't like eggnog.
Yeah. But it's super creamy because I use 2 pounds of lactose. It's got a nice mouthfeel, but it's not ready yet. So I guess they're tasting it today. So that one probably won't win unless they're like, ooh, this will be great if it is given more time. But I don't think that's what they're looking for. They're looking for a beer that's done and ready. Mm. So, but I figured why not.
So what do they do when you win? Do they just take your recipe and brew a big batch of it?
Yeah, I think you probably work with them to scale it up. Oh, it's not bad.
I really like this.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are drinking Cigar City's
Good Gourd.
Good Gourd.
Ale with pumpkin and spices added. Crafted by hand. Hecho a mano.
Hecho a mano.
Hecho a mano. CigarCityBrewing.com. A liquid monument to the glory of the pumpkin, the most noble of all the gourds. This imperial pumpkin ale is brewed with cinnamon, allspice, cloves, nutmeg, and vanilla to emulate the flavors of a decadent, piquant pumpkin pie. This gourd, the gourd is good, indeed. 8.8% ABV, 2017 release. So this is like limited release.
It's a cool little label, too.
Yeah,
it's I like nice. That font they use.
Yeah, and this is pretty good. It's a lot thicker than I thought it would be. It's pretty clear, but it's like a red, like a really red-brown, almost the color of your shirt there.
Yeah, it's incredibly red, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, it gets redder the more I look at it. But I like that color.
It's very gourdy, though. You can definitely smell like a... I mean, yeah, it just kind of smells like the inside of a melon or pumpkin. Not pumpkin in particular, but just a vegetable like that.
It's got a bit of a boozy smell and taste to it. Nothing like off-putting, but
what's the percentage? The percentages.
8.8.
8.8, okay. That's lower than I thought it was going to be.
So, yeah, it's because of the booziness. It definitely lets you know that it's higher gravity. But yeah, it's got that gourd taste, the pumpkin, and it still has a lot of spices, though. Mm-hmm. But I think in this case, they might have just added more to try and cover up the booziness, because it's not out of balance with the pumpkin necessarily, but they're there, and they're what's in all the other beers. All the other pumpkin and seasonal beers that people are throwing out, so I don't know.
It's from Tampa. They're having a serial killer issue down there right now. Have you heard about that?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, there's some masked guy that's going around, and he's got a mask over his head, and he's just shooting people in the back, like when they take out their trash and shit.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
And it's very similar... I'm not saying these are correlated, but it's very similar to a killer that was in Arizona several years back.
Huh.
And they never caught that guy.
You think he just moved?
So it's like, he could have just moved.
Interesting.
And got fired back up and started to do it again. But yeah, they've got the city on lockdown. Well, not lockdown like officially. It's just there's been a lot of shit about it, and the mayor's real fired up. He's like, we're going to get this son of a bitch. It's like,
yeah.
You don't hear much about serial killers nowadays.
No, it's all like mass shootings.
Yeah.
Which I guess is just more efficient. I don't know.
Yeah. What's fucked up, though, is like reading about the serial killer stuff. I mean, it's not good if you get taken by a serial killer, but it's...
Right.
It's like weirdly refreshing.
There's still people who like follow that line of work
just something that's not a mass shooting. It's like, I'm not saying it's good.
Mm-hmm. All right, it's all bad.
It's just like, it's fucked up that we're in a world where I look at that and I'm like, oh, that's refreshing. It's just a guy that's sneaking up on people and killing them.
Yeah.
He's not, you know, he didn't come in with a machine. He's just, whew. It's like fucked up that's kind of refreshing in a weird way to me. It's like, again, I'm not saying it's good. It's just like...
I think I kind of get what you mean. Yeah, it's all terrible and it shouldn't be happening, but...
But that's the world we're in.
It is. It does. Yeah, and that's the thing. And it's awful. Like like Alan and I said, like we knew someone who was at that concert when there was that shooting going on there. And, but yeah, no, it's awful. But yeah, I know what you... I think I kind of know what
you mean. Well, yeah, it's like, I'm not saying it's a good thing. It's just overall, it's like, you wake up every day and there's something fucked up, and it's like, oh, there's a serial killer? Well, that's not happened in a long time.
Right.
Huh.
I heard something about a new show that's coming out. I can't remember what it's called. But there's a new show about, like, inside the mind of serial killers and stuff like that.
Yeah, Mindhunter.
Mindhunter,
yeah,
that's
on
right.
Yeah, Netflix, done by David Fincher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there was some pretty interesting reviews and stuff like that for that show. So I thought I might have to check that out.
Dude, serial killers are nuts. Like, I mean, literally.
Yeah.
Nuts. But, like, just... Like, they still, like, to this day, the Zodiac Killer, that's an unsolved. They think they know who it is, and that guy died in the early 90s, but they never confirmed it. They can't confirm it unless he's alive. And he just died of, like, a heart attack or something. I can't remember, but... That whole movie is crazy.
Yeah.
Well, and that whole story in general, but...
Like, that's true.
He would send little teasing notes to the newspapers, like...
Yeah, he, like... Yeah. Like, that was an actual thing. Like, he actually did that, like, Riddler-style shit. Like, or like that, seven that's... and shit like that, playing jokes on people, like fucking crazy. Like actually crazy.
Yeah. Like, he would do fucked up shit, though. Like, just walk up to people in the park and shoot them and whatnot.
Yeah.
But no, they're telling everybody in Tampa, and it's like, definitely, if you're listening to this and in Tampa, I'm not trying to make light of your situation. It's just fucked up we live in the world we live in. But, yeah.
Yeah.
Don't go out at night without somebody.
Yeah, be careful.
Don't do it, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, and you kind of get... You can get desensitized to stuff like that. I mean, a lot of it's been going on lately. Maybe we're just more aware of it lately. Mm-hmm. But I mean, like, I lived near Baltimore for a bit. And, you know, Baltimore, there's 5 homicides a day on a good day. And I come out here, and it's like, oh, man, you know, we had... It was like a bad month because... 2 people got shot. And I'm like, you fucking pansies out here in Chattanooga don't even know. Like, oh God, there's violence downtown and blah, blah, blah. Like, yeah, yeah, it can get violence. Like, I've heard gunshots and stuff like that. And, you know, obviously people get hurt. And, but twice a year is not the same as, like, twice an hour.
It got kind of rough there for a minute. There was, like, a gang war or something going on.
Yeah, yeah. I
don't really know what.
Right, and I'm not saying it's not terrible, because, as we already said, all this violence is terrible. I'm not a proponent of any violence.
It's like, this now?
Yeah.
All right.
But people that think violence is bad here, it's not so bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's not so bad.
Oh, yeah, Chattanooga's a pretty safe little spot to be.
Yeah.
I mean, don't...
There's places... Don't put yourself in a
stupid situation.
Yeah.
You know?
But, yeah, it's not so bad.
Yeah.
Safer than where I used to live.
It's like, the only time I've, like, really felt dangerous in Chattanooga is I had a homeless guy approach me at the ATM downtown.
All right.
And he had, like, lingered until I turned around, and he startled me. And he was like, hey, man, can I bum, like, a couple dollars? I was like, dude, no. Like, honestly, because you just scared the shit out of me, and I thought you were about to try to mug me. And it's like, don't...
Work on your approach, man.
Like, I get what you're doing, camping here at the ATM, but, like, nah, man. You need to go somewhere else. Like, you know,
and a couple... Those things only spit out 20s.
Yeah.
You don't just have a couple bucks after going to the ATM. You have at least $20.
Oh, and he fucking knows that.
Yeah, of course he knows that.
Yeah. And it's like, forever, however many people he asks... Somebody is going to have a 20 that they can just offload and just be like, yeah, man, sure, here's $20. And he scored big for camping out there for however long it takes him. I mean, that's a carton of hobo cigarettes.
Even if it takes, like, 2-3 hours, that's still $7, $10 an hour, essentially, that you're making.
Mm-hmm.
You get $20.
Yeah. You camp there for 2 hours and make $20. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's all you do.
Yep. That's your daily thing. You come over there and you're like, I'll make $20 a day. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like, there are people that work at fast food places that make less than that, you know?
That's true.
You know?
Yeah. Some days working at the restaurant, you'd have like a slow Wednesday morning or something like that. And I remember when I was at Tyson's Corner working at Gordon Biersch, I would not make enough money sometimes to actually have it be worth traveling to work. Because it would be like a hour and a half commute, and then that was, at least when I didn't have a car, that's what it was like. So it would be an hour and a half commute on the metro and all that stuff. That's like $6 to $10, I think. And then back for another $6 to $10, and I only make $4, $12. It's not even worth my time to be there.
Yeah, that's why I've always hated, like, jobs like that. It's like, we're just on a whim, it cannot be worth my time that day.
Yeah,
I guess it balances out, though, because you have days where it, like,
more you work on a Saturday, you make like $300.
Yeah,
so you do a Saturday double, you can make $300 or $400. Mm-hmm. And at Tyson's, anyway, sometimes at Big River downtown, I probably pulled in $300 on a Saturday double.
Now that would be a good day to leave somewhere and just, like, have, like, $300 cash.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh.
And then go get drunk.
Strip club.
Yeah, but, you make, like, most of your bill payments in one day for the month. pretty nice. But I'd much prefer, I do much prefer having like an actual paycheck that I know, give or take, how much I'm going to get each couple weeks.
I dickered that poor on that one.
I saw that.
Yep.
Your Hillary poor.
Yep, good old Hillary poor.
I don't know. I'm actually kind of liking this less and less. The first sip of this good gourd I had, I enjoyed. But it's, the booziness is getting sort of overpowering for me. It's like, I don't know. Keeps reminding me it's there. I get the pumpkin. I'm getting the pumpkin, too, because that flavor lingers, and the spices don't as much. But when the spices are gone, the booze shines through.
Mm.
Which, I guess, solidifies my theory that they're only there to cover up that taste.
I'm trying to see if I can find a date on here. Like a drink-by date or something.
Mm.
But I don't see one.
I assume it's fresh. It's for 2017. It's a 2017...
Well, my question I was having about it is maybe this is not intended as a pumpkin beer or an Oktoberfest. And maybe it's some... Because I want to do it. We're going to do a Thanksgiving episode of like beers that would be good with Thanksgiving dinner. And this would be one of those.
Yeah.
And so maybe it's intended for Thanksgiving. For the harvest. It's very Thanksgiving-y looking at it, and then you put shit and gourds and put it in the middle of your table.
Yeah. I really can't decide on this beer. I want to give it like a 7, 7.5.
I'll go with the good 8. I like it. Yeah, okay. I like it.
I love the color. I'll go with the 7.5 because of the color.
We didn't pull up a sheet, but no, whatever. Alan's not here to remind us to do it, so.
Yeah, fuck him.
Yeah, fuck him.
Fuck him. I hope our beers win.
Did he go down there because he thought his was going to win, or just...
Well, I mean, today is when it's happening, and it starts... Actually, I guess we're doing this early. It starts at 7.
Yeah.
So if we get this done, we can still go over there, I guess.
But, yeah.
He's got it under control. He'll never know.
Yeah. I didn't know if maybe he thought he was... had a good chance of winning or something, and he skipped the podcast. He's like, I'm gonna.
No.
I got this.
No, and we were talking about
it. Goes down there and doesn't win.
No, we were talking about it yesterday, and he was like, shit, they go on at the same time. And that's when he was like, okay, you go on the podcast, because you guys watch The Thing, which we'll get to, I guess, which was great, but we'll get to.
Yeah, did you watch the first one?
No, I didn't have a chance.
Yeah,
I haven't had a chance to watch a movie since the last time I saw you.
Well, same here,
But yeah, so he has the book with all the recipes and everything, and he has the beers, and I gave a card that said which one is which of the ones I gave, so he knows what we got there. And he was there when we did all the brewing and bottling and dry hopping and everything anyway, so.
Yeah.
Should be all right. But yeah, that'd be cool if we end up with one of our beers on draft.
Yeah, that would be sweet, just the clout to be like, yeah, that's... I brewed that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's mine.
Yeah.
Yeah, right there.
Yeah, I brewed that under my stairs.
Yeah, that that IPA over there, yeah, that's my shit.
That's mine.
Yeah.
It's my Saison.
And especially...
my out-of-season Saison.
What's a diplomatic way to say this? If it is on a tap at CBC, you've got a good comparison ratio.
I got you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of, like...
that's true.
Taste there. It's not... I wouldn't want to be on tap at... Hutton and Smith, necessarily.
Although, speaking of, there is a pro-am for Hutton and Smith as well coming up at the end of this month. And I think the turn-in date is the 31st or November 1st, which one, I'm not sure. But, yeah, we're entering our beers in that, too.
And it's the same deal, right, where you get to brew it. And again, all I was saying with that, just so I'm clear with Hutton and Smith here and they don't get upset, is... it's a stiffer competition with you guys.
They have a wide variety of styles on draft, too. It's hard to find something different that Hutton and Smith doesn't already have on draft. Because they have, like, 20 of their own beers. Mm-hmm. Well, between the two locations, anyway. They've got
I think they've got 18 or 20 taps at just the downtown location.
So, I mean...
and that's a ton.
Yeah, that's so many. Of their own beers.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous.
I can't believe they were brewing that much. Maybe they were just loading, like Joel was just loading up on blow and just like, bro!
Bro! Yeah, that sounds like him.
Yeah, just cracking a whip, just bro.
I can see that. Oh my god. But yeah, it's hard to find something that they haven't already done that they just don't have all the time.
Yeah.
They also have more strict guidelines for their contest. So like where CBC was just like, we were doing a spiced beer.
Yeah.
That's pretty much anything. Like if you look at the BJCP thing, like spiced could really be anything. 'Cause they put it like vegetable, fruit, and spice.
Yeah, so yours that so you just dumped a bunch of pepper into.
Right, lemon and pepper, like pepper's a spice, so it should work there. But the Hutton and Smith one, they have specific yeasts and certain specialty grains and stuff like that that they want you to use, because those are the ones they have access to.
Hmm.
So, but that's fine. That's what I
yeah,
I
that's
brewed
cool.
based
yeah.
on that.
Yeah.
The cream ale that I did is following those guidelines, and it should be ready by the time their pro-am starts. Mm. So.
And when is theirs again?
31st or 31st?
The 1st?
Next week.
Okay. Yeah, so soon.
Yeah, soon.
Very soon, like Monday.
Yeah, Tuesday or Wednesday. Yeah, it's about a week away. Yeah.
I was going to crack open another one here. Do you want to go
ahead? Let's get another one of these ones.
Well, because we've achieved what we've set out to do.
Which is go through all of the Oktoberfests and pumpkin ales.
Yeah, that Riverside had to offer, which is effectively what our distribution market has to offer.
Right.
At least for now.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. Like the 20th, I think, Cherokee started operating shit, and they've already cut a bunch of lines. But yeah, so do you want, I got us, just so we can extend it out, and next Tuesday when we record, it'll actually be Halloween, so I saved us one.
Okay.
A Star Hill, I think. I don't think we've had that one yet, have we?
Is it an Oktoberfest?
Yeah, it's a white can with like blue fanciness all over it, blue Germany decorations
on it. It looks like the October, like the diamonds,
yeah.
Like blue and white and blue diamonds.
Yeah, yeah.
we had a couple things decorated like that.
I know the Wiseacre can is like that. It's yellow and black.
Yeah.
And then this is this one's white and blue. I'm fairly confident we've not had it yet. But either way, I saved it for next week.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
that will
works.
Finish, thank God, with the Oktoberfest and pumpkin beers.
It's been a fun ride, though.
It's been
it's been good, it's been bad.
I'm just tired of it.
Yeah.
I'm ready to move
things.
On.
It was a good experiment. But I like the doing a month of different beers of the same style.
Yeah, yeah.
That might be something to look into next
year. I kind
of
like that, too. Like, we just kind of happened to do it with the Oktoberfest, but I kind of like the how that worked out.
Yeah. Do, like in some of the winter months, do, like, you know, black IPAs and stouts and just, like, super dark beers, and we just have two or three different styles that we do, like... Mm-hmm. December, we do stouts and porters, and we just have a shitload all through that month. And then, like, January, like, black IPAs, white IPAs.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, stuff like that. February, we get some, like, pale ales, maybe. I don't know. We'll
yeah, like, February through summer is going to be my shining season.
Mm-hmm.
Like, coming up, if we do that, which I like, December's going to be a rough month. Because it's going to be like heavy.
You gotta, yeah, they
got to
be in there somewhere, yeah. But like next month we get a whole bunch of browns and maybe some like cranberry flavored stuff, and I don't know. We'll,
good old Brown Town.
Yeah, take it to Brown Town.
I'd like to have a like a brown lager just called Brown Town. And if I could figure out the technology to work into like a little label peel, where it's like those Hallmark cards.
Okay.
That sing, you know.
Okay.
You could peel back the label, and you could peel it back, and it would sing that song that's like, downtown, but it would be Brown Town, da-na-na. You know that?
Okay.
Yeah, I don't want to do too much of
gotcha.
It, because we'll get in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
But
okay. Yeah, singing label.
Yeah,
I like the singing
Brown
beer
Town.
Label. We'll just do it when you
and
pop.
I think the term Brown Town is funny.
Yeah, of course it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like I'm going to take a dump. I'm headed to Brown Town.
Yeah, if you're heading to Brown Town.
Brown Town, USA. All right, so since we're hitting the end of Oktoberfest, I grabbed us an IPA that we've not had, to my knowledge.
Okay.
To kind of even things out here a little bit. Not even amount, just have something different. And then we've got the Clawhammer.
Yeah. I swear we've had the claw. Maybe we didn't do it yet this month, but we've definitely had the claw hammer before, I swear.
Maybe last year?
Maybe. I've had the claw hammer before just drinking it. Maybe that's what. I've had it recently. That could be.
Yeah, yeah.
I do drink beer outside of this show. For some reason. Because I love the beer.
It's good. It's tasty.
I love all the, I love all the beers.
All right, we're going to go with this IPA.
Okay. That's a nice change. I haven't had a bit.
This is Star Hill Brewing's Northern Lights IPA.
Okay.
Founded in 1999 in Charlottesville, Virginia.
I want to say I've had this before, but I don't remember it too well. I'm going to... Yeah, I don't know. I think I liked it.
I was trying to see if it had... Oh, it's 6.2 ABV.
Okay.
I'll let you pour it some right over the mixer here.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Okay. Hazy. It's got that golden color. Golden strawy. Nice head retention. And the head also has the...
Oh, this smells
the
fantastic.
The color of the beer. It does smell fantastic. It's citrusy and floral and... Let's really get that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that smell.
That's it.
Yeah, that's pleasant. Okay.
Yeah, the more I smell it, the more I get the citrusy smell. Like,
you said this is...
At first, it just smelled good.
Yeah.
Like, just like a good smell. But it's definitely citrusy.
It's a mild IPA. You said it's 6.2?
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely floral. I kind of get like a potpourri.
I was thinking that when I was smelling it, but I didn't say it because I thought it sounded retarded.
No, no, no.
Mentally challenged.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, no, it's that like dried crushed flowers. Maybe in an oil form or something, however you do it now.
Now, you know what it smells like? It smells like, you know how people will crush a flower in an old book to let it dry? It sort of smells like that, like a dried out, like just, not any flower in particular.
Yeah, that's what potpourri is. It's just like a crush of old flowers, but that's kind of what this is, the smell, the flavor. And it's not, I've had potpourri tasty beers before that were way too much. We've had one on the show. I can't remember which one it was, but. It was way too much. It was like chewing on it. But this is pretty good.
This is a good IPA.
Yeah.
I think this is an IPA you could sneak on to people that don't like IPAs.
I think so.
Because it's not super hoppy at all.
It tricks you because you think it's about to be.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can, like, right when you first put it in your mouth, like, you get that, you know, on the side of your tongue there where the bitterness is.
Yeah, yeah. You get but that little, like, jaw not, clench.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not the bite that a typical, that you expect, that you think is coming. And it just sort of hangs out there for a little bit. And it's like, no, I'm just fruity. I'm just a little fruity.
I'm just dabbling a little bit in the fruits.
Just a little, just tickling your taste buds.
Yeah, I'll go with an 8.5 on this as well. This is a solid brew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very solid brew. If you're not a fan of IPAs, give it a shot.
And I think specifically it is, maybe I'm making this up. Okay, it's just an IPA. For some reason I thought it was them trying to do like a West Coast IPA.
This is called the Northern Lights.
Yeah, so it's just a standard India pale ale.
That's right.
The Northern Lights are those, the Aurora Borealis, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Caused by like gases and shit in our atmosphere reacting with science.
I like this beer a lot. I may up mine to a good 9.
Really?
I really like this beer.
It is pretty good. And the fact that, like I was saying, it's deceptive. Like if you don't like IPAs, you might still like it. Because it tricks you.
No, and those that do like IPAs, it enables you to trick those that don't like IPAs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's solid. I'll have to keep that one in mind.
The Star Hill.
I don't know. We'll see. When we go, as we're going through the rest of it, we'll have to, I'll see if I want to bump it up to a 9.
I wonder why they have two R's in Star.
Because.
I mean, like, you know, there's a story behind that, though. They didn't start out that way. Like, maybe their domain name with just one R was taken. They were like, just add another R. Buy it. Or maybe they bought the domain name by accident. They didn't realize they had thrown two R's, and then they spent all the money on the domain name. Mm. And they're like, well, fuck it. We'll just do it, and it'll look trendy. I'm just saying there's a story there why there's two R's.
Could be
two
someone's
R's.
Name.
Yeah, you know? It could be initials.
Could be initials. Yeah. That's true.
It's not mundane. It's very purposeful. I just don't know what the purpose is.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe to make it stand out.
But I don't know. It's... surely some marketeer didn't come through and it's like, you should have two R's. It'll really make your beer stand out if you got two R's on the Star.
Right.
But then again, hey, we're sitting here having a discussion about it, so.
Yeah, right.
Mission success, marketeer.
Nice job, Star Hill.
Whoever you are.
Mm-hmm. Born in a Charlottesville music hall. Okay, let's see what we got here.
The beer was?
Star Hill Brewery.
That cracks me up that they have to regulate websites like that. It's like, you're not looking at porn on there. It's just...
Right.
And you're not getting drunk by going to the website.
Yeah,
but,
yeah. Blah, blah, blah. In the early 90s, Charlottesville native Mark Thompson took his biology degree from James Madison University and moved to Portland, Oregon, ground zero for craft beer's growth in America. The natural blend of art and science poured into the brewing scene... inspired him to take up the craft. Get it? Poured into the brewing scene. Working alongside brewers in Oregon and Colorado, Mark honed his own artisanal beer recipes. There's a lot of... that's a long story. Okay. You can check out their story at the Star Hill website, starhill.com, with two R's.
With two R's, yeah. Is it starhill.com?
Starhill.com.
Yeah.
Second oldest craft brewery in Virginia. Mm. Wow.
When did it open again?
99, I believe it said.
Whoa, then like the bar set real... That's like us moving to like the middle of nowhere.
Right.
Like, we're the second oldest.
Craft brewery. Yeah. Blah, blah. Charlottesville eventually lured Mark back to Virginia. In September 1999, he partnered up with a buddy to found Star Hill Brewery out of a passion for great beer and live music, which is the paragraph I skipped over. His buddy was looking to start a brew pub and music hall. Blah, blah, blah. Named after the local neighborhood. That's what. The brewery shared its original space with the Star Hill Music Hall. There we go.
See, there's the story.
Their historic storefront.
There was a story.
Yeah, the historic storefront on Main Street was once home to the state of Virginia's first craft brewing operation, Blue Ridge Brewing Company. And there we go. Now you know a little about Star Hill. But yeah, there's more about the story. You should go check it out on their website. We could probably link it in the show notes or whatever.
Yeah, I'll put it up. Yeah, I've gotten real lax recently on the show notes. I'll admit it. Like, I've been fucking up. I've just, so I'm sorry, listeners, if you've been wanting to know what beers we've been drinking, because I've just said, fuck it. But there's shit going on. It's busy times.
Yeah.
There's serial killers afoot and mass shooters. It's terrifying times.
Yeah. It's a crazy world.
And a bad Star Trek show.
And a bad Star Trek show. You don't like it?
No, man.
I watched the first couple I watched the first episode. You're talking about,
Discovery.
Yeah, Discovery, yeah. The first episode mostly held my attention, and the second one didn't, and the third one I think I slept through because I fell asleep partway through the second episode, and it went on through the third one. I woke up, and I was like, what? Is there anything different, or like, no? I don't know.
That's but how I felt, is I sort of just zoned in, and I was like, no, it's just people bickering in space,
it
and then there's
be
a cool action scene.
Yeah, yeah.
And I guess ultimately that's what Star Trek.
I was gonna
is,
say, yeah, it's kind of what it is.
But have a purpose to the bickering. Like the way I look at it is, I only watched the first two episodes. I just could not get into it, and have not been able to bring myself to watch the third. It's just I find it kind of boring, and it drones on.
Well, you were never a big Star Trek fan, though, were you?
No.
Yeah.
I liked the idea of it.
We should
and
get...
then I got really into it with the new 2008 movie that came out, or 2009, whenever that came out. And I really liked that one, and that got me into, like, go back and rewatch some of the older stuff.
Yeah.
And
the original series is kind of rough to get through.
It's rough, but I get what they were getting at.
Yeah.
And I could appreciate it in that way. I mean, it's certainly rough. It's very rough. But I could get what they were aiming at.
Mm-hmm.
And I was down with it in that way. But this new show, it seems... Well, I guess I'll explain my thoughts on those Star Trek movies first. It's like, the first one, I thought was pretty great.
Yeah.
It was a pretty great movie all around. It looked pretty cool.
Yeah.
I dig this. It was like, it was Star Trek for people that didn't necessarily like Star Trek. And it, like me, I didn't give a shit about Star Trek until...
That was J.J. Abrams, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I didn't give a shit about Star Trek until I watched that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then I watched it and I was like, holy shit, this Star Trek stuff's actually kind of interesting.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you're not alone.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people.
And I think that's cool that it used that to get people interested in the older stuff. And then the second one came out, like Into Darkness with Khan.
Mm-hmm.
And that movie...
Not as good.
It's an action fest. And then the third movie goes back to what I loved about the first. And it the third movie felt like an old-school Star Trek episode.
Okay. Like, I didn't see the third one yet.
Dude, it's... I may...
That's on my list.
...like it better than the first. Because you don't have the origin story to set everybody up. And then it's just a Star Trek adventure. And then they end up running into... Spoiler alert, but nothing major... But there was they reference early in the film a ship that, like an old Enterprise ship that goes missing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And they end up finding it on this planet later on. And, I mean, it's like, it's been missing forever, but it's got all the old technology from the original ship.
Oh, that's cool.
So it sort of canonizes why everything looks so goofy on the ships back then.
Yeah.
And then, but it actually works, and they end up having to use that ship to escape and whatnot. And I thought that was cool. And it just felt like a... It was just
nice
an episode of the show.
Of,
like,
yeah.
It's essentially a standalone Star Trek film. Like, there could be five more, and you could really watch this one wherever. It's just a fun little adventure. Mm. But this show, this new show that's out, feels more like Into Darkness, where it feels like a bunch of people that don't really... And this is coming from a guy that admittedly doesn't really understand Star Trek, but... I feel like I understand it enough, and it feels like a show where people... It feels like some executive was like, we need a Star Trek show.
Yeah.
And then some people were hired to write it who may or may not necessarily be into Star Trek, and they just watch those J.J. Abrams movies, try to be like, well, that's cool, let's take that, and like, that's cool, they did that, let's take that. And it feels more like Into Darkness, where it's like... I feel like that's what they did with Star Trek Into Darkness, is they just tried to do what worked well for the first one.
Yeah, for the first one.
And that's what they're doing here. But, I mean, I guess it's doing well enough. It just got greenlit for a season two, so...
All right. Well, I mean, it's all that the Trekkies have.
Yeah.
Like, that's one of the things about liking Star Wars over Star Trek, is that now that Disney owns Star Wars, it's always going to be there. We'll always get it. We're going to get a new movie at least once a year.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. Star Trek, Star Wars are hit or miss sometimes too, but at least you know by now. Star Trek, I mean, it's hit or miss. Every other movie has been good. I think it's like the even ones are bad or something. I can't remember. But we got to get Will on here, my brother Will, because he loves Star Trek.
Oh, I didn't know he loved Star Trek.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, we can have a Star Trek episode, get him on here.
Yeah,
talk
I'm
about
done with
those
that.
Movies and the old shows, the new show, and all that stuff.
Dude, we should watch the third movie.
Okay.
And no, we can do that for the listeners.
We can have
a
movie. We need another movie night.
We do. And for the listeners, I think we can talk about this right now. We're revamping our after show.
Yeah.
And I don't want to say the name yet, but I'll let people know what we're doing. We're gonna do it like you can watch along with us. We're gonna like you can play it while the movie's going on and watch the movie with us, and then have an after comment thing with us. So. We should test that.
We're working on
the new Star Trek movie.
Yeah,
we should try to do that with the new Star Trek movie. And
yeah, I'll give that a shot. That'd be fun.
Because we could live stream it.
That's true.
I figured out how to do that.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool. But yeah, anyway, that'd be fun. But Yeah, no, that's all I got on Star Trek. I don't know a whole lot about it either. Like, I enjoy it. I really like Next Generation. Whenever I'm on vacation and like it's just late at night and I don't have all my stuff with me or whatever. Like when I was down in Florida in February, and we were just hanging out in the room late at night, fucking Star Trek comes on. And so I was like, all right, yeah, I'll watch some Star Trek. It's pretty good. Next Generation's pretty good.
That's the one with Picard, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also Voyager. Voyager's pretty fucking good with Captain Janeway. Oh, Captain Janeway. And Seven of Nine.
I don't know. When I was growing up, I was just so much more into Star Wars that was like, why am I going to bother with Star Trek?
Oh, my God. Because Seven of Nine.
But these new movies got me into the older stuff. I've not gone through it all. But my thing with this new show, outside of that, is I know it's a prequel. It takes place like 10 years before any of the movies. And the Star Trek canon was already so muddled. I don't see the need for them to do it 10 years prior.
She's part Borg.
Ah, yeah. That lady's foxy.
Yeah, that's, yeah, seven, she's foxy. That's Seven of Nine.
Seven of Nine. She's foxy, yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't see a purpose with this show for them to set it as a prequel 10 years prior. Why couldn't the Discovery just be a ship that's on the other side of the fucking universe?
Yeah.
Like Captain Kirk and his crew is on one side of the universe. And they could even have a cool little thing where they're in the heat of a battle. And because the exterior shots of the ships are all digital, they could set up where the Enterprise has a cameo in a season finale or something, comes in, you don't see any interior shots of it, but have the Enterprise fucking warp out of hyperspace into battle and fucking slays everybody and then just goes back out. And you could tie it in and create be trendy with what it is nowadays and have a Star Trek cinematic universe that you build across a show and movies.
That'd
and
be
it
cool.
all ties in. I don't know why they didn't do that.
That would be cool.
It's set up right there. Like, you literally just had to, like, they could even change it at this point and be like, yeah, it's not 10 years prior. It's just on the other side of the universe.
Yeah.
Like, they could do whatever.
Yeah. But, well, I mean, they already started working on that story. I don't know if they could just change it right now, but I mean...
Well, even still, it's just the 10 years... Well, they definitely couldn't change it now because, like, Spock's dad's a character. That's why they did it. Is they're like, oh, to make this relevant, we need to have
right, yeah, in order for people to care about it, we have to, you know, mix it up with something that already exists.
And they'll probably have a child Spock at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows? Yeah. Like, and that irritated... They could have totally... I would have liked the show more if it was a parallel story. Who is calling me? God damn it.
Aw, Tanner.
I'm yelling at this person.
Thought an alarm. I'm yelling at you. Your phone should be on silent, sir. Tisk, tisk, tisk. Unbelievable. I'm going to keep saying things until you get back to your seat. Who is that person? Live on Brew Chat.
Oh, it's health insurance.
Health insurance.
Open enrollment is fast approaching.
Oh, good to know.
They can enroll me today.
Can they?
Hundreds? Robust.
I think it's a robot.
It is a robot lady. No, I'm going to talk to a person and yell at him. Yeah.
You can. I don't know. I think it probably won't get you to...
Forfeit this offer. Press 9.
You should forfeit the offer. Slow day in Brew News.
Hello, my name is Joey. I'm with Healthcare Select. How are you?
You're live on Brew Chat. You are caller number 9. You have won a trip to the Bahamas. What can you say to that today, sir? Are you there, sir?
You know, get it. Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, you have just won a live trip to the Bahamas.
Bahamas?
Yeah, sir. Where are you from, sir? What's your name?
My name is Joey, sir.
Yeah, you are live on Brew Chat, and you've just won a live trip to the Bahamas.
Great. Yes.
Yeah, now go fuck off.
Aw. Oh, that last bit I feel was unnecessary.
No, it's totally necessary. He needs to get a real job.
You should silence your phone.
Yeah, I should do that. I'll have to go and edit.
It is a job. Calling people.
That's not a fucking job.
Well, technically, the robot called you, and then you asked to talk to a person.
He should get a more reputable... That's my thing.
He sounded excited for a minute.
No, he legitimately...
For a second, he did, and he was like, Then he was like, okay, yeah. But at first he was like, wait, what? And then you hear like, so wait, what? To where?
Yeah, he's probably in India somewhere, and may not even know. No, it's definitely an Indian call center, like overseas.
They're the ones
somewhere.
That keep calling you.
Oh yeah, I get calls from them all the time, and it doesn't matter how many do not call lists I put myself on.
Yeah,
I still get fucking called by these assholes.
That's terrible.
And so yeah, I've accepted it, and now I have fun.
See, I didn't respond, and when I saw they were calling, I was like, oh, this isn't a number I know, I just won't answer the phone. But if you answer, and it is one of those machines, eventually at the end, it says, to get removed from this list, press whatever, but it's a different fucking number every time.
Yeah,
so I can't
wait. And,
I can't just hit 2 every time, because sometimes that'll be like, call me back in 5
minutes.
Well,
your selection of push this button to be put on our do not call list or whatever, it's most of the time whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, they still call me. Like, I've put myself on Blue Cross Blue Shield's do not call list at least a dozen times. And they still fucking call me almost every day.
I had that problem when I got the Total Failures website
and
the Total Failure Brewing. Because now fucking all these people, I guess from Google, are calling me and they're like, hey, you need to advertise and blah, blah. I'm like, motherfucker, I didn't even build my website yet. I just have the web space so that I have
it. No, that's how they get it. Is they get it through the Who Is articles in there. It documents like who owns it and shit. That's how they got my shit, is through BrewChat. So, whatever, though. I have fun with it. And my thinking, because the do not call lists don't work. They clearly don't work in my experience.
Apparently.
So, my logic here is if they call me enough, eventually they're going to mark. It's like, okay, this guy does. It's not even fun for us because he doesn't even get mad for us to have a story. He just answers this phone number. If we call it, he just gives us a goofy voice. And then, and so either they keep calling to be entertained, which I'm kind of more okay with that.
Right.
Or
they're just looking for a show.
Or they just realize that they're wasting their time. Be like, just don't call that guy. He won't put himself on a do not call list. And he tricks us into calling him all the time and acts like he's on a radio show. So I'm hoping
every goddamn time this fucking guy.
I need to work out an entire bit that sounds legitimate.
So you don't just have to end with "fuck you" and then hang up the phone. There's got to be a way to like keep the game going for a bit. And
well,
then be
I
like,
said
okay, we'll call you back and
well,
blah blah blah.
Well, the only reason
blah.
I said "fuck you" is because I picked up that he was not picking up what I was putting down. Like he had figured it out. But if we could figure out the bit to where it sounds legit, and maybe we've got some stingers in the background, like "whoa, whoa, whoa," like just you know, just weird sound effects in the background, like radio stations have, and just be like, "You've won a trip," and do the whole bit, but actually work it out, and be like, "We're gonna be sending you things in the or like tickets in the mail or whatever," and like maybe Photoshop up some like fake tickets and send them. I don't know, but really take it. Take it as far as we can.
Yeah, we just need your address and blah, blah, blah. Social security number. Send it right here to BrewChat at Gmail.
Oh, God, no. If he reads it on air.
Oh, goodness.
My social security number is 4.
No way. No way. People, there's no way we would get someone to do that. I say that, but
people are stupid, doing that kind of stuff all the time. I mean, think of how much those African princes have made.
Right? Yeah. I'm coming to town.
Yeah, there's a couple guys.
I just need airfare.
Who probably aren't even in Africa.
I'll pay you when I get there.
Who are claiming to be quote-unquote African princes that need to just... They're like, I just need to hide my money for a day.
That's right.
Who... God knows how much. They just need one idiot once in a while to be like, hey, this African prince wants to use my bank account to store his millions of dollars.
Jeez.
Like, it's foolproof. You know, you get people like that. They're just fucking idiots.
That's terrible. I can't believe people fall for that shit.
Right? But they do.
Yeah, they do.
But they do.
They do. All it takes is one. And then whoever it is makes their money for their year. That's the same thing we were talking about with the guy waiting out like by the ATM. He waits there for a little bit. He gets $20, and then that's his job. These guys send out an email blast, get maybe 2 or 3 suckers to give them their bank account information, and then they're set.
Yeah, they literally just send out an email blast and wait.
Yep.
That's it. What gets me is I can't tell with these callers. I'm pretty sure that one was a legit scam. Because right. I get some that are legitimate just business calls, like Blue Cross Blue Shield,
mm-hmm.
that are legitimately just trying to sell me things. And then I get people trying to call and do scammy shit.
Huh.
Like a big scammy one I get a lot is they call saying they've got information on my warranty for
that's
my
what I was
Toyota
gonna say,
Corolla.
Yeah, for your Corolla. Yeah. Yeah.
But
that's
Corollas
right, about that.
And it's like Civics between certain years are the most owned cars.
Right.
So just the statistics of them getting somebody with a Corolla or Corona or whatever, then no, there used to be a Toyota Corona.
That's right.
Back in the day, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
But having whatever, like the odds of that are pretty good, so mm-hmm. they just gotta get one person that's like, well, yeah, I do have a Corolla, but you said it was black. Mine's red. Oh, yeah, that must be our mistake. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'll change that in our system here.
Oh, that's right, sir. Yeah, let me change that in our system really quick.
Mm-hmm.
Clawhammer is a badass name.
Yeah. It's a pretty good Oktoberfest, too. Just a wee bit different.
It's a little footy.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I'm like, we shared one before the show, but now that I'm actually tasting it.
Yeah. It also has that rich orangey amber with a bit of red in here, too, color.
It's crystal clear, though. I mean, you can see straight through it.
Way maltier than the others. You can get that malt nose.
Yeah, it's just a good, well-rounded, malty.
A solid Oktoberfest.
Yeah.
A little malty for my taste, but I'll give it like a 6.5 or 7. Maybe 7.
I'll go with the 6.5.
All right.
Because I probably wouldn't buy it again.
There's
it's not
other,
bad.
There's other Oktoberfests yeah. that we've had on here that are better. But it's not bad.
But yeah, as far as easy drink, there's not anything bad about it. There's no. just not anything that's exceedingly
super good,
fantastic
yeah,
about it.
Nothing,
it's just kind of there.
Nothing special. But it's an Oktoberfest, if that's what you're looking for. And if you like fucking Highland Brewing, then you will like this Clawhammer. A world-renowned celebration inspired our golden, toasty, rich, and full-bodied Märzen-style lager, brewed with traditional German malt and the finest noble hops. A spicy hop aroma and finish balance the abundant malt flavor. Enjoy autumn with a traditional Oktoberfest. 5% ABV. They are in Asheville. This one was filled on September 20th.
So a little over a month ago.
Mm-hmm. Cool beans.
Nice.
Very nice. And yeah, that's all the beers we have today, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then next week
I'll
bring my saison.
Yeah, it's just two of us killing them today, yeah. So, yeah.
Teamwork.
Makes the dream work. No, we tried that, last time I was over, we tried one of your saisons.
Yeah, it was pretty
and
good.
And it was pretty good, man. I was surprised, too, because with how much pepper you sounded like you dumped in there, I was expecting it to be super peppery.
I put an ounce of peppercorns in there.
But it was not at all. It no, just it had just a nice peppery little bite to it.
Yeah, it's really lemony. That lemon, I put an ounce of lemon peel in there, mm-hmm. too. And I think I can tone that back next time, probably. But we'll see. The flavors have mellowed out a little bit. And it's calmed down. It's sort of balanced out. So yeah, maybe I'll get it on draft somewhere.
I still really like this good gourd. I like this a lot.
It's alright. I'm gonna keep going on the fucking Star Hill. That's
I
great.
Really like this good gourd. The Highland's probably my least favorite tonight.
Yeah, it's just the least special, I think, out of all of them. Not that it's bad. Again, it's just it's an Oktoberfest.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Again, it's almost got an unfair judgment. Because we've been doing Oktoberfests all month.
Mm-hmm.
But again, there's nothing special about it. But if this was the first nothing special about it Oktoberfest this month, maybe we'd like a little more.
That's true, yeah. And again, it's not bad at all. It's just it's just there.
It's another one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This Star Hill IPA, however, is definitely memorable. I can't believe I forgot it last time.
That's super tasty, yeah. Have we had it on here before?
No, but I've had it before.
Yeah.
And well, we might have. We've been doing this for a while.
Yeah. I'm still sticking with
this good
gourd, though.
I'd say that Star Hill is my pick of the night.
Good gourd here. That is a good gourd. It's good.
Gourd. I'll go number two. I know what they're going for. It's just that booze gets in the way. And when the booze isn't getting in the way, the spice is getting in the way.
It's got a lot of spice.
Mm-hmm.
That would be good to cook with.
Yeah.
Like put some chicken in it or something.
Okay.
Either way, though, We watched
The Thing.
The Thing.
Mm-hmm. Now, you saw the original one,
the
too.
The remake. We're talking about the 2011 remake.
Yeah.
And,
it was good.
Let's see. Let me look up the details on this real quick.
And you looked out. I enjoyed it. Like I said, I want to see the one from 82. From watching the remake/prequel from 2011, and then watching the very beginning, the opening of the 82 version, I can see how much care was put into, because there are, it ends right where the original one starts, mm-hmm. which you told me, which is pretty fucking cool, and yeah. they do a really good job. They have the same helicopter and everything.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
The costuming is the same, and
well, if you watch,
the dog even looks the same.
Dude, yeah, it's
like
the
same fucking
dog
is obviously dead by now. In 82, like that dog was probably a few years old in 82, and this is 2011. Like that dog is dead. But maybe I wouldn't be surprised if they got like his grandson or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, right. Like the same
the same
lineage
exact,
of dogs.
Yeah.
No, it was this guy. His name is it's Nordic. So I'm gonna try this here. Matthias von Heinigen Jr.
Okay.
And he's not done a whole lot, actually. Looking at his shit, definitely The Thing is his most notable.
Hmm.
He did something in 1996 called Red Rain.
It's because I'm thinking of the Peter Gabriel. Is that Peter Gabriel, I think?
Maybe.
Red Rain is coming down.
Yeah, he's not done a ton of stuff, but he's Nordic. And in the original, the big thing is they knew the station that this helicopter was coming from was the Norwegian station.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, oh, what's going on at the Norwegian station? So they had a complete opportunity in this new one. They could have done a completely Norwegian cast and it all have been subtitled.
That's true. They could have.
It was like, I mean, as far as the story was concerned, the only reason Mary Elizabeth Winstead was in there because they needed American characters.
Yeah,
it's like they, her and
yeah,
Uncle
they could have
Owen,
easily,
yeah, they could
just
have all just
been Norwegian.
Nordic.
Yeah,
it's weird to me because the remake, beat for beat, follows the original. Like all the exact same shit happens. Even the thing where they get down and they're like, "Okay, we've developed a test."
Right.
You know, we're gonna do that, and then the test gets sabotaged, or like they, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's like all the same beats happen in the story, and it's just neat how they're able to, A, remake the movie, but also...
Yeah, they keep, like, the major plot points, but change the details a little bit and change how you get there. But you still have... Yeah, that's really neat. I'd like to see that, the original one.
Well, and the prequel effectively makes the original better.
Because
it makes it into, like, one big movie.
It makes the it makes the original one into a sequel.
Yeah, yeah.
If you watch them that way.
And that's what I think a good prequel should do.
Yeah.
Like Rogue One did that. You know, where Rogue One ended.
And I mean, obviously,
and like,
people have their issues and stuff with it.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, yeah, it ends there with them flying off, you know. And I believe you and Alan and I were speaking earlier about the Clone Wars cartoon, the original Clone Wars cartoon.
Yeah, yeah.
Where it was like 3-minute segments on Cartoon Network during commercial breaks and shit like that. And they put them all together and... You've got a series, and those episodes are so good. And there's 2 seasons, and the last one leads right into the next movie. It's great.
Huh.
It's so good.
So what do you mean it leads into episode 3?
So the Clone Wars, Clone Wars takes place in between 2 and 3, the same way the current Clone Wars cartoon did.
Yeah, that's right. I knew that.
And then, so like the Clone Wars cartoon starts out Somewhere in there, you actually get to see like General Grievous's heart get crushed.
Oh.
So that's like why he's like wheezing and shit like that. You see Anakin get his scar. You see like all this other shit happen, and then it leads right into the fucking space battle where episode 3 starts.
But that's basically what the big long series does too, though. Like you get all those beats, like
yeah, I just like
heart getting crushed.
I'm just old and set in my ways,
yeah.
And I like the original one because that's what I know.
Yeah, I don't know. The original one got on my nerves because it looked too animated to me. I mean, you know, I'm not too big on animation anyway.
Well, you like Samurai Jack, though, right?
Yeah, I like Samurai Jack, but that was more that I liked fucking ninjas is where that came from.
But you like Star Wars.
Yeah, but it's like I like real Star Wars.
It was. It's legacy now, I guess.
Yeah,
but
like the Clone Wars, the new one.
The current one
is canon. The newer one is canon.
Yeah.
And there are shots like space battles in that show that look as good, if not better, than the prequels.
I believe that.
I mean, it's the same animation effectively. It's just maybe they artsied up a little bit for the cartoon to make it match the style
the style.
And tone. But like the space battles, there were scenes where they looked better than like especially episode 2 space shit. Like,
I could see that.
And like, and the clones, like when you're just watching the clones march around and fight, and they don't, you don't see any actual skin faces,
yeah,
and you just see helmets. It's almost indiscernible between the clones from episode two, which was like right computer digital stuff really started to take off. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I like the final battle in episode two. It's a fun final battle.
Yeah, I thought it was cool.
But it's like the clones are definitely computer generated. Mm-hmm. You know, like. So that's kind of why I like the newer one a little better. I've not watched any of Rebels, though. Have you watched any of that?
I saw a couple episodes. I remember having a problem with the main character or something like that. I don't know. Whenever I have a problem with the main character of the show, it just ruins the whole thing. So I'm like, this is going to be the focus of every episode, and I'm going to have to deal with this bastard.
That's how I kind of am. He's just kind of a vehicle to take you on a tour of, like, fun things.
Yeah. Okay.
Before Star Wars. But I agree. That Ezra character.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like him. And he builds that stupid gun blaster lightsaber thing.
I don't know anything about that.
Yeah, he's like training. He's like a young Jedi or something. Mm-hmm. And there's Kanan, who was one of the exiled Jedi Knights, whatever, survived Order 66.
Okay.
Finds this kid, starts training him. Kid builds his own lightsaber, but it's like a blaster and a lightsaber, and it's just stupid. It's just
like that. The concept is cool, but it doesn't fit in the universe, really.
No, it's something, it's for kids,
yeah,
is what that is. It's like you remember when you were kids and you're just like, oh, you would draw something and you're like, oh yeah, I'm gonna draw a tank, but I'm gonna draw like 40 missiles on it because it's gonna be awesome,
or yeah,
whatever.
Yeah,
it's just overkill because you're a kid. And
well, a lightsaber, like, but I'm gonna put a fucking blaster,
yeah,
on it.
You like, just do stupid shit like
Jedi
that.
Jedi wouldn't use a fucking blaster, jackass.
Yeah, kids don't get that shit.
No.
It's like, yeah, well, I'm going to be a samurai, but I'm going to carry a bazooka.
Yeah.
Yes, that's not really being a samurai, bro.
Yeah, sorry.
Well, it's, you know.
But it's badass. Well, yeah, it's badass, but it's not historically accurate.
Yeah.
God, fucking six-year-olds.
Fucking kids. God damn it.
But yeah, no, the thing was awesome. It was what I wanted Alien to be.
Yeah, I mean, it was effectively the first Alien film, but just in an Antarctic base.
Yeah.
It was beat for beat. It follows the same storytelling things. And
the people that are, like, infected but don't know it, and, like, you know, they get fucked up, and, you know, you gotta fight for escape and everything, like, alien life form that no one knows anything about, hostile.
That's something I didn't understand, though, is if you were infected with the thing, are you aware, and you're, like, helping work its,
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, it's not that you're...
Like, if I had it in me, would I be, like, the thing, but I'm just a sleeper agent, and I know that I'm the thing, but it's like, at the same time, the thing has my consciousness, so it's able to, like...
Well, it
like,
replicates deep...
Fake
it
shit.
Replicates the cells.
Yeah.
So, you are the thing. It eats you, essentially.
And then
shits out all
you.
The non-organic material, which is just the fillings.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, by the way. This movie came out in 2011, so fuck y'all. Shits out all the fillings and then changes its cells so that it looks like whatever it is that it just ate. What I couldn't understand is how it was in multiple places at the same time. Like how it was in the helicopter flying off.
Well, I think it like breaks off like and it sort of like
so does it have like a like, hive mind then?
Yeah, I think it's basically the Flood from Halo.
Okay.
Of where, you know, you can cut off an arm and that can go infect something. So that's why you have to burn
right.
it.
You gotta, okay.
And you gotta get all of it.
Mm-hmm.
But something else I didn't understand quite about it was, does it absorb your consciousness?
Yeah, it seems to know things about people. Like,
but then it didn't know at the end that guy's earring wasn't in the right ear. Because remember she said something about his earring,
yeah,
and then it fell to the wrong ear and she's like, it was his other ear.
Yeah.
So I couldn't figure out if I became the thing, would I just be running around being like, yeah, I'm fine. I don't have an alien inside of me. Like, let's go grab a beer, Jared. And I don't know that I've got it.
No, you definitely know because the dude with the earring, the thing with the earring, played her the whole time. It was,
yeah, it was
playing
just a
everybody.
Long con.
Yeah. It was, he was in it for the long con. Let all his other little buddies like get destroyed and shit like that. But the whole time is fucking him.
Mm.
And he was like, I'm getting the fuck out of here.
Was
and
he
even if I have to sacrifice all my
time?
Other ones? I think he was.
Yeah, like even ever since the helicopter crash.
Yeah. I'd say so. I don't see why not.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then like it's cool though, it's got twists and turns, like the people you think might be it aren't it. And like it's the whole thing that's like, oh, is it him? Is it him? Is it her? Ooh, it could be anybody. And then spoiler alert, it's the fucking dog. that runs off at the end. Yeah. I don't remember that dog from anywhere else earlier in the movie. It just like happens to be there, and they're like, "Oh, fuck a dog!" And then the dog leaves, and it like, and then at the other, it like stops and turns around and looks at the very beginning of the 82 one. It like stops and turns around and looks, and then just books it. And like as, and they're just like shooting at it from a fucking helicopter. Like if that had been, if I had watched that one first, I probably would be hooked. Be like, why the fuck are these these Norwegian dudes like chasing after a fucking border collie or whatever it was?
One, what's cool is they bring the grenades back into it too.
Oh yeah, all
that. There was so much care taken into the continuity between those two movies.
Yeah,
like because back in the original, when the helicopter crashes at the beginning, it crashes because he runs out of bullets shooting the dog because it runs towards the Americans' camp. And like Kirk Douglas and Kurt Russell, and all the people up top are like watching this helicopter just like, you know, like go back and forth and just keep trying to kill this dog and they can't get it, and so finally Lars, who's in the helicopter, starts just lobbing grenades at it.
Oh shit!
And then he ends up dropping one in the helicopter or something, and they crash.
Oh damn!
And then Lars comes out shooting at the dog, and then one of the guys like starts playing with the dog and he's like, get away from it, get away,
fucking
eats him. He's freaking out and they think he's crazy, so they shoot him.
And, the dude and Lars,
like, yeah, Lars. Oh, and then they
doesn't have a name in that movie,
he's just the Norwegian that shows up. And so then they've got the dog and they're like, we don't know why he was trying to kill this dog, it seems like a good dog,
yeah,
it seems fine. And then the dog starts fucking shit up.
Yeah,
but apparently I learned today there's an all like a no CGI version, an all practical effects version of the prequel.
Oh, wow.
Which would be, I would love to be able to find that.
Oh, with like the double faces and shit like that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Because the original was obviously all practical effects.
Right. It was, yeah.
But they took so much care, like when the two guys' faces that melded together and then they burned.
Yeah.
They show that corpse in the original. They show the axe in the wall.
Yeah, that's like, neat.
There's all sorts of little things.
Yeah, because they're like, no, leave it. There.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's all sorts of little things when they go back to that space station. They find the guy who committed suicide and his blood had froze from...
Oh, yeah.
They find his corpse there. And there's all sorts of these little tidbits of things that happened that you just see the effects of at the destroyed station in the original. And then this movie actually explains how those things happen.
Yeah, that's really neat.
Yeah, it was a fucking sweet movie. I wish more sequels and prequels. I think it's more interesting when a prequel does and is able to bring all the puzzle pieces back
especially
together.
Especially when there's 30 years in between the movies. Yeah. That's someone who saw it as a kid in Norway.
Yeah.
And was like, oh man, I'm going to make a prequel to this. I want to know what that story is. Like, why are they chasing the fuck? Like, how to get to be the dog?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the story they told.
No, that's exactly what this is. He's done. This like dude's said, not like done nothing. Much stuff. Yeah.
This is all he wanted to do.
Yeah, he was like, I'm going to grow up and I'm going to remake it.
Yeah.
And then he's done it perfectly. Yeah.
Good for him.
It was a good cast, too.
Yeah, did a good job. The acting was all right. And yeah.
It had Tormund, Mary Elizabeth Winstead, Mr. Echo.
Yeah.
Tiny Nipples from Community. It had a lot of people in it. And it had this German guy. He just like always plays Nazis and stuff in films. But I don't know his name, but he was in it as well. He was a Hydra agent, I'm pretty sure.
Makes sense.
In a Marvel film. Yeah.
Was he in, like, one of the Die Hard films, too?
No, but that's... We should talk about the Die Hard films. I've not watched...
Christmas is coming up.
Yeah. Yeah, I've not watched
we should do all,
Die
we
Hard
could do all four,
while.
Though.
Yeah.
Four? Are there five now?
I think there's five, but we should just talk about the first three.
Okay. Yeah, we should
When
we
the
should
times were still
them.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like... The first three Die Hard movies, that's like... Before Trump got elected. It's like the equivalent of that. After that, John McCain's like jumping out of helicopters like crazy and
okay.
Just like in the original, he's an out of place cop that's like had to step up and accept the call of heroism and duty.
Yeah. John McClane.
John McClane, yeah. What did I say?
John McCain.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not John McClane. Well, John okay. McCain
I was
as
like,
well,
John
maybe.
McCain's
I don't know what
in
he
one of the fucking Die Hard
yeah,
movies?
He is Die Hard, no.
John McCain jumping out of helicopters in Die Hard.
He may have been in Vietnam, though. I mean, he got captured or whatever, but neither here nor there. But yeah, John McClane, Yeah, in the first couple, he was just an unassuming cop.
Yeah.
That shit happened to, and he dealt with it.
Yeah, like not even supposed to be here today, kind of.
He's a superhero.
Oh.
And he's just doing crazy shit, which I know that is only included for the sake of like, oh, let's put a cool stunt in here and whatnot. But it makes no sense storytelling wise for the character.
Well, like Fast and the Furious.
Yeah, it's kind of like that.
They're at superhero status right now. Yeah. Like they're. The Rock fucking picked up a torpedo. I saw him. Yeah. He took a fucking minigun off of a helicopter and wielded it.
Just snapped it off.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't even bolted.
Yeah.
Like it was held on there with a plastic clip.
Right.
And he just snapped it off. Like how I would pull a paperclip off a stack
of documents. I've seen Jason Statham run a car head first to another one and just step right out and keep fighting. I've seen it happen.
Well, he had it reinforced, but yeah, no, no, it's the exact same progression. I'll admit that. It is the exact, but for some reason, Fast and Furious, I'm a little more okay with it.
Yeah, they were already sort of, those movies are already over the top, but like, speaking of which, over the top, fantastic movie, Sylvester Stallone about arm wrestling.
I've never heard of this movie.
You've never heard of Over the Top? I'll get back to that later. Yeah, the Fast and Furious movies have always been over the top, and there's more of them, so you have longer to draw out the escalation from stealing DVD players to being superheroes, you know,
to racing across the Arctic, submarines
against submarines that are shooting shit at you. You've never seen Over the Top?
No, I've never even heard of it.
Over the Top.
I'm not a huge Sly Stallone fan.
He
kind of gets on my nerves.
I could see that.
Yeah.
Just
like his whole like, like it just
my buddy Juan back in Rockville got like a 4-pack with Over the Top and four of these movies. The one where he goes to the future.
Where Sly Stallone goes to the future?
I can't remember.
Like, he literally travels to the future in the movie, or it just takes place in the future?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Because that's a difference, if it just takes place in the future.
I think it's a little bit of both. He travels there, and that's where it takes place. So they got, like, the seashells in the bathroom instead of toilet paper and shit like that, and it's like a running
gag. Yeah, I don't know what this
is. On the radio?
Something where they're, like, replacing toilet paper with seashells.
Demolition Man.
Demolition Man.
Demolition Man.
Running Man's good too, though.
On the radio in the Running Man, they listen to like commercials. That's their songs. Like they listen to TV ads and stuff like that.
Whoa!
Like the music is like the theme song to something, or like you know, the Fig Newton jingle or something like that. They listen to jingles. That's their music. So that's interesting. But anyway, Over the Top is like a father son. Kind of romp, I guess, family comedy or coming of age sort of thing. It's him and his son, a strange son, I think, and he gets back and he goes on he's like a professional arm wrestler, and his signature move is going over the top, which is like when he's about to lose, he goes like this and puts his fingers over, and then he just wins every time. And he does it, like, for his son at the end. He's like, go over the top. He's like, go over the top, man.
He's always moving his fingers.
Going over the top, man. There's an episode of Community where Abed is talking about over the top. And then at the very end, he wins an arm wrestling match.
By going over the top.
It's the whole thing with the fingers, like, all slow like that.
Yeah.
So it's like you arm wrestle, but instead you just go over the top. And then you poof.
Okay.
It's worth a watch, sort of.
Just because of how ridiculous that is, that sounds like a movie that would be on the level of Roadhouse.
It's ridiculous.
Outrageousness. Of like that. Did it come out in the 80s?
Because
if it came out in the 80s, it's definitely, because it sounds like a movie that came out in the 80s. That's just utterly ridiculous, that it doesn't need to be.
It doesn't need to be.
Yeah, none of the 80s movies. It was just movies. It was movie ideas
1987.
Fueled by cocaine. Yep. Is all like that's why I love the 80s because of the movies we got. What year was it though?
87.
87. I knew
sport
it had to be
drama.
80s. I knew it had to be the 80s.
A trucker, that's right, he's a trucker. Sylvester Stallone yanks his snooty son out of military school and goes to Las Vegas to arm wrestle. That's the story of Over the Top. Initial release July 4th, 1987, South Korea. That's what it says on here. 5.7 out of 10 on IMDb. 43% Rotten Tomatoes. These fucking...
No, I fucking love 80s movies, man. There was so much ridiculous shit in the 80s, like, just with movies. Like, there was just ridiculous shit, period.
The posters for this movie are
but
ridiculous.
The movies themselves, that's when you get Back to the Future and just crazy shit like that. Oh God, I love it.
Look at
this.
The fucking truck crashed in the background.
Look how big his arm is.
I know, right? Yeah. Actual size. Look at that one.
Oh, yeah, that's him going over the top.
Over the top.
Over the top. He's like, I love my
son. He's my son. I love him.
You just got to go over the top.
You just got to go over the top.
I'm not saying it's over. Just give me something to drink.
His name is Hawk. He's fighting for Hawk. His son. Is it Hank? What did I say it was? Hank or Hawk?
Hawk. You said Hawk.
This is... Yeah. I don't know. It could be either, really. Lincoln Hawk. Yeah. And the kid is David Mendenhall.
Named Lincoln. Lincoln Hawk.
Looks familiar.
David Mendenhall. Yeah, that does sound familiar.
He was in God Bless America. No, he was in Over the Top in 1987. His face looks familiar. That's weird. Space Raiders, God Bless America. Nope. Whatever. Fuck him.
Good old Sly Stallone.
Yeah.
He's getting up there in age.
Yeah, I guess he is.
Yeah, he's in his 70s, I think.
Damn.
Yeah, he's old.
He's over the top.
Yeah, he's over the top. Why does he talk like that?
He had a stroke or something. I don't know.
This is dead on. That's great.
I don't know.
I don't know. Adrian is...
Something. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what he does.
Let's wrap up on that. I didn't realize we were hitting our time here.
Wrap it up. See you guys next week.
I want to remind everybody next. I need to remind everybody about the skate thing. Grab that beer there.
Yeah. That's right. This is Wes's.
I told Wes I would remind people about this.
Yeah.
Adult Halloween Skate-a-ween, or Adult Night Skate-a-ween, Thursday, October 26th, which is this Thursday, which will be the evening this comes out. 7 to 10 at Roller Coaster Skate World and on Lafayette Highway in Fort O. $5 admission includes skates and is an 18-plus event, and there's a costume contest. Fast skates, backward skates, couple skates, and more.
Sounds like fun.
Music spanning the 60s to now. And then also, next Friday, which I don't know what day that'll be.
31st is Tuesday. 1, 2, 3. So, the 3rd?
God, I don't know. That's way too much for me to calculate.
31st is Tuesday. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Okay, so the 10th. I believe the 10th.
Oh, the Friday after.
Yeah, the Friday after this Friday.
Okay. Next Friday.
Or next Friday. No, it would be the 3rd.
Yeah. This Friday is the 27th.
Yeah, so it would be the 3rd.
Yeah.
Yeah, so next Friday, November 3rd, Heaven and Ale is going to have their grand opening. It's going to be 11 to 11.
Word.
I don't know if that's like 11 o'clock. AM raging to 11 PM raging, or if it's just like come down and check out the brewery.
I don't know.
But 11 to 11.
They'll be there.
Yeah, grand opening.
Cool.
So that should be fun.
Yeah, we should go down there at some point. We'll be there.
Yeah, I plan on being there.
Those guys are awesome.
Yeah, probably. It'll probably be close to the evening when we'll be there. But yeah. Check out brewchat.com. Hit us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all brewchat with 2 T's. And we'll see you guys next time. And what is this? Episode 107?
Yeah, something like that. It's so hard to keep track.
Yeah, I'm going to go with 107. I think it's 107. I didn't make any notes for this episode.
I think we're good on 107.
107.
All right.